Chapter 6. And so it went. Steve spent his days working at the construction site and his nights at Tony's. They had dinner, talked, laughed, sometimes actually did watch TV or a movie. They had amazing, passionate sex that left Steve wrung out, aching and sated, and then Happy drove Steve home. On a whim, Steve brought his sketchbook out one Saturday and worked on a sketch of the skyline while Tony was on a conference call. Monday evening, he arrived to find an easel and assortment of the finest materials he'd ever seen set up by the window. "This is amazing," he found himself saying, more just to the air than anything, because it was a more beautiful set than he'd ever seen, let alone imagined getting to work with. He traced his hands over the line of colored pencils and ran his fingers over the set of oils, delicate brushes, and even a wooden palette that he could tell was the kind crafted by hand of fine wood, not the mass-produced ones they sold in most stores. He should refuse the gift, but the sight of Tony shifting back and forth on his feet, hands tapping together in a frantic rhythm, told him enough. So he smiled his thanks, which seemed to be enough because Tony waved his hands in the air as if it was nothing, but Steve could see a flash of something that looked like relief cross his features. He often found himself spending his weekends curled up on the sofa in Tony's workshop, reading or sketching or just listening to Tony chatter about whatever was going on in the workshop at the moment. He loved the helper bots, and when Tony told him they were supposed to be learning bots, though he claimed they rarely learned anything useful, Steve took it on as a project to teach them various tasks and games, enjoying the bright light in Tony's eyes as he watched Steve interact with them. He asked Tony about the clean energy project that was taking up so much of Tony's work hours and got to hear the excitement in Tony's voice as he talked about the possibilities he foresaw for it, as well as the struggles with the SI board over the practical applications and profit potential. "Much as I wish I could just wave my hand and make it happen, the bulk of SI is built around weaponry, always has been. This would be a huge change. I think the company could withstand it, but I've got a lot of employees to consider. They've been building bombs for years. This, and the board, stockholders, hell, I don't know. I don't even know if it will work," Tony said tiredly one evening, throwing the blue diagram that was hovering in front of him into a virtual trash can with a frustrated swipe. "Yes, you do," Steve said confidently. "Okay, yes, I do. But there are still a lot of obstacles," Tony replied. "You'll solve them," Steve said, not looking up from his sketch. Tony laughed. "I wish the board had your certainty." "You'll convince them. And if you can't, well, it's your company, right? Got your name on it and everything. Seems like it should be doing what you want it to do," Steve shrugged. Corporate politics seemed like a bunch of kindergartners arguing over the crayon box to him. "True, but the stockholders would freak. The stock price would drop, at least initially, until the market figures out what this can do," Tony said. "Pretty sure there's something called investment risk out there. Seems even I've heard of that. And the last thing I invested in involved a few lemons, some water, and sugar," Steve replied evenly. "Got an answer for everything, don't you?" Tony said. But he was smiling that fond smile that Steve liked. The company was Tony's business, obviously, and Steve didn't know enough about it to get involved, but he knew Tony. And if Tony said this would work, then it would work. "You have the opportunity to help people, really help, actually make the world a better place. I just think if you have that chance, well, you should take it," Steve said simply. Tony had just stared at him, then shook his head and scrubbed his hands through his hair, leaving it in that ridiculous state of disarray that Steve liked. Steve smiled at the memory. So things were going well, all in all. It took Steve a while to identify the feeling that gathered in his chest over this time, but finally realized it was happiness, or something so close to it that if he could just call it that long enough, it might actually be true. Things were going remarkably well in a lot of ways, in fact. Work at the construction site was good. Johnson had been transferred, or quit, or something. Steve didn't quite know the whole story, but the new guy was both competent and nice. He put Steve on the interior painting details Steve had asked for back when Bucky first got him the job, which was close enough to art for Steve to take pleasure in it. Their hot water got fixed finally. Instead of Wilson showing up with his toolkit and telling them why it couldn't be done or was going to take 2 weeks for some part, a whole maintenance crew showed up. They fixed the hot water, got the burners working, updated the wiring, and even replaced the seizure strobe light. "Now I'll never know what it was trying to tell me," Clint had said sadly, shaking his head. Bucky said the building was apparently under new management, whatever that meant. But it apparently meant that whoever owned it now was taking a bit more interest in making the place livable. They were even installing central heat and air in the building, to which Bucky had replied, "Welcome to the 1970s," but happily ditched his noisy window AC when their apartment was done first. Best of all, Steve was able to secure his mom a spot at the private treatment facility. It specialized in severe traumatic brain injuries like hers. And while nothing was guaranteed by any means, the doctors at least had a plan and spoke about improvement instead of moving on. At least it made him feel that he was doing something other than walking away. Each week he stopped by the agency to pick up an envelope filled with a ridiculous amount of cash, more money than he'd ever seen in his life, handed casually to him, all businesslike. He even signed for it. As much as he wanted to pretend that he was having some sort of relationship with Tony, the envelope was a much-needed reminder that this was business, nothing more. He dressed carefully for the night, black slacks and the deep blue shirt that he knew Tony liked. Walking out to the living room, he found Bucky sitting on the sofa eating a slice of cold pizza and holding a bottle of beer. He felt Bucky's disapproval wash over him. And here was the other less-than-bright spot. The more time Steve spent with Tony, the more disgruntled Bucky became. Steve knew. He was just concerned. But Bucky's concern hit way too close for comfort. For the first time since he'd gotten that horrible phone call and found himself explaining to the nice lady in student services that he had to drop out of art school and go to California because there had been an accident, the crushing weight that had settled on his chest had lifted a bit these past couple of months. He saw Bucky start to say something but cut him off. "Don't start. Please, Buck," Steve said, trying to edge out the door before this became a thing. Bucky was shaking his head. "Again? Really? What the hell are you doing, Steve?" "Just don't. I know you worry, but it's fine. Really," Steve assured him. It was mostly true, after all. "You're lying to yourself if you really believe that," Bucky said. And there was too much truth to that for it not to sting. "You're playing at dating this guy, for Christ's sake. But that's not what this is, Steve. Next thing you know, you'll be going for long walks on the beach together." Steve looked down, shuffling his feet in embarrassment. "Oh, God, you went for long walks on the beach, didn't you?" Bucky moaned with disbelief. No, nothing like that. Just, I wanted to sketch the sunset, and he knew a place with a good view of the cliffs in the foreground, and so we sort of hiked up there," Steve rambled, knowing it sounded lame. It had actually been one of his favorite afternoons, trying not to laugh as Tony maneuvered the path in a suit and Italian loafers, insisting that a little nature wasn't any reason not to look fabulous, which all went to hell as a rainstorm caught up with them just as the last of the sun dipped below the horizon and they were forced to walk back, getting drenched. He really hadn't been able to hide his laughter then. Wet Tony was adorable, like dropping a cat in the bathtub, all hysterical affront and spiky hair. "Where do you think this ends?" Bucky asked, standing up and moving between Steve and the door. "I'll tell you. It ends with you getting hurt, when this guy gets tired of playing house and moves on, that's where it ends. Steve tried, but he couldn't move past the thought of Tony moving on to someone else. But of course, Bucky was right. There was no happy ending here. And then what would he do? The situation with his mom wasn't exactly going to sort itself out in the short term, if ever. Find a new client? The thought made his stomach turn. "Steve," Bucky said, not completely unkindly, but with a firm resolve in that quiet, serious way that Bucky, for all his frat boy shenanigans, could manage to pull out, seemingly at will when it came to Steve. "You are not dating Tony Stark. What you are doing is letting him fuck you for money. That's it. Oh, he may play nice for now, sure. He's getting all the sex he wants with no strings. Meanwhile, you want real. And this thing with Stark is about as far from real as it gets. How do you think he sees you? Does he take you out to meet his friends? Go to any fancy parties lately? I saw he was at some big bash last Saturday night. Clint had Eon, and there's Stark, pretty as you please, living it up. And where were you? At home, waiting for his car to come and get you so you could meet him. After, Steve. You're an after. Steve felt his shoulders slump and put a hand up to stop Bucky from saying more, because he really, really did not want to have this conversation now. But Bucky, as usual, ignored him. You get in that car, and every night, it just takes more and more out of you. I see it happening, and God damn it if I know what to do about it. You're about as stubborn as they come, Rogers, when you get something in your head, but I know you. And I know what this is doing to you. You can say you're happy all you want, but this isn't happy. This is you trying not to fall apart and calling it happy because calling it what it is would destroy you. I see the way you stare at that phone, waiting for it to ring. You have no idea what your face looks like when that buzzer rings and his car pulls up. You're in so far over your head, it isn't funny. And the only way this ends is for you to get chewed up and spit out. So just don't go. I know the money is great, and you're helping your mom, and that's fantastic, it is. But she'd never want you doing this, Steve. Never. Hell, she'd kick my ass for letting you. I said we'd find another way, and we will. Just stop this thing with Stark, Bucky ground out, voice strained with emotion. Steve drew a shaky breath, shook his head. I'm not doing this with you tonight, Buck. I can't do this with you. And then, giving up and wanting to just get the hell out of here, he brushed past Bucky and threw open the door. He'd heard enough. Bucky knew him too well, saw too much, things Steve didn't want to deal with right now. It was like having all his worst fears spread out before him in bright technicolor. I have to go, he said, stopping with his hand on the doorknob halfway out of the apartment. No, you don't, Bucky replied sadly, shaking his head, hands fisted at his sides. If you did, I'd understand that. Wouldn't like it, but I'd understand. This, you want to go. And that's just going to end so, so very badly, Steve. Steve was out the door and taking the steps too fast, wanting to be anywhere but here and listening to Bucky and his truths. He heard Bucky's heavy footfalls following him, but didn't stop. He wrenched open the building's front doors and felt Bucky grab his shoulder, spinning him around and pressing him against the vestibule wall as the front door to the building banged open. Don't. Just don't go, Steve. Bucky's face was a mask of pain now, and Steve knew his own must look the same because it hurt. It hurt because Bucky was right. He knew it. He didn't want to face it right now, though. Wanted this fantasy to hang on to a little longer. The illusion of it was better than the alternative. Why did Bucky insist on pulling aside the curtain? Why couldn't he have this? Just for a little while, even if it wasn't real. Bucky's hands came up to grasp both sides of his face. Look at me. You know I love you, Steve. I'll be there for you, no matter what, till the end of the line, right? But this... Don't do this. Seeing you do this, it's killing me. Please... It's me asking you not to do this. Don't go to him tonight. Steve jerked his head away, unable to meet Bucky's gaze. He drew a shaky breath. He'd never been able to deny Bucky when Bucky asked something of him. Bucky was the one that had always been there, taken a young, skinny Steve under his wing, had his back when he inevitably got in over his head. But this... He couldn't. A part of him wanted to give in, take away that look that had been hovering on Bucky's face the past months, but Tony was waiting. Tony, with his laughter and wit and kindness and incredible intelligence and dark eyes and hands moving over Steve's body, making him feel things he'd never imagined, that he'd get into the car had never really been on the table. I have to, Steve said quietly. His mouth pulling down into a grimace. Please, Buck. Please. You know what you mean to me. Don't be... Please. I can't do this without you. I need you. Always have. But I have to do this, Steve pleaded. Steve's eyes searched Bucky's for some acceptance, pleading with him to understand. Bucky's hands slid from his face, his body rigid with tension. Fine. Fine, Steve, you go. And when this all blows up in your face, don't come moaning to me about it, Bucky spat out, pushing away from him and stalking off, nearly knocking into Happy, who had parked the car and gotten out to open Steve's door. Steve sighed. He hated being at odds with Bucky, particularly when he knew what Bucky was saying was true, and he was only saying it because he genuinely cared. He turned to find Happy watching him, door opened and waiting for him. Numbly, he climbed into the back seat of the car. He couldn't help replaying Bucky's words over and over in his head. Couldn't think of anything but the hard truths Bucky was forcing him to face. Luckily, Happy didn't seem in a mood for small talk this trip any more than he did. When they pulled up to Tony's drive, Steve climbed out and headed on inside as usual. Hey, Jarvis, he called politely. He sat down on the sofa to wait for Tony to come upstairs, idly picking up one of the small sketch pads that had appeared in various places around the house. It was taking Tony a bit longer than usual to come up, so Steve started drawing, and before he knew it, had a cartoon of wet Tony looking quite disgruntled as a little black rain cloud hovered over his head. Finally, he heard Tony's footfalls coming up the stairs, slower than usual this time. Tony, always so full of energy, typically practically bounced up the stairs. Steve was so ready to see him, though he didn't pay it much mind, just stood and smiled as Tony appeared. Tony stopped dead at the top of the stairs, looking at Steve with a hard expression that Steve couldn't place. Hey, Steve said softly. I missed you. Tony's head snapped up a bit at that, and Steve could see the lines of his face harden. He was about to ask what was wrong, but then, without a word, Tony turned abruptly and walked to the dining room, sitting down heavily in his chair. Steve followed, confusion welling up inside him. Tony didn't speak, still hadn't greeted him, and Steve wasn't sure what he'd missed. Okay, clearly Tony was upset about something. Well, certainly everyone had their off days. not like Tony wasn't more than entitled to a few. They ate in silence for a bit, or rather, Steve ate, and Tony pushed food around on his plate, staring at it moodily. "Everything okay?" Steve asked. "Fine," Tony replied. "Why wouldn't everything be fine?" Tony smiled, but it didn't reach his eyes. Steve was suddenly reminded of something he and Clint had watched on the Discovery Channel. A shark's smile, with dead pools for eyes. Okay, so Tony didn't want to talk about it, at least not with Steve. So at work today, Clint fell asleep in one of the HVAC shafts, and they couldn't find him for like 4 hours, Steve began, clearing his throat and hoping he'd be able to distract Tony from whatever was bothering him. Tony always seemed to enjoy hearing about his life, though Steve couldn't fathom why. Bucky wanted to duct tape him in place, but they ended up putting a picture of the new foreman on his jacket and taping his hand, rather inappropriately positioned, Steve recalled, hoping to elicit a smile from Tony. "I think Bucky's going to be sorry he started that with Clint, but Bucky always..." Tony's hand slammed down on the table, making the silverware jump and clink loudly against the china. "I think that's enough storytelling," Tony said, a bitter twist to his mouth, looking anywhere but at Steve, and something terribly like pain flared in his gaze for a moment before he shuddered his expression completely. "Tony? Tony, what's wrong? You're obviously upset about something. Maybe I can help?" Steve stammered, thrown totally off guard by Tony's outburst. That finally brought Tony's gaze to his for a brief moment before he turned his head to the side, as if he couldn't stand to look at Steve. Steve was utterly baffled. Had he done something? Said something? He'd only just gotten here tonight. Tony stood up in one quick motion and walked swiftly away from the table. He stopped when he reached the living room. Steve got up too, not knowing what else to do, and started clearing the dishes. "Leave it. Just fucking leave it, Steve. It doesn't matter," Tony said from across the room, his voice sounding oddly constricted. "I don't mind, really. It's no big deal," Steve replied, continuing to clean up. "That's not what you're here for," Tony shouted sharply, his voice echoing off the room. Steve stopped moving, one plate held in his hand, his whole body stilling. A hot, hard spike of shame rushed through him. He looked down and swallowed. "Oh, well, okay then, that was true," he supposed. Tony had just never said it so plainly. He put the plate back down on the table and looked up at Tony's back. Tony nodded jerkily at the sound, apparently satisfied, and stalked down the hall to the bedroom. Steve found himself staring numbly around the now empty living area. What just happened? What the hell was going on? This wasn't Tony. At least not the Tony he'd gotten to know. Something was definitely wrong, but he had no idea what it could be. Something to do with the company, maybe. There was definitely enough there to cause plenty of stress, but this seemed directed at him. But he'd just gotten here. Not even he could have screwed up that fast. He followed Tony's footsteps down the hall and into the bedroom, ready to ask Tony what was going on, but stopped short when he found Tony already undressing. "Tony, what? Did I do something wrong? I mean, you're clearly upset. I think we should talk about it before we..." Steve waved his hand toward the bed's general direction and tried to sound confident. "Do we?" Tony asked, his voice weary and heavy. "Do we really need to talk, Steve? What do you have to say that I could possibly want to hear?" Steve opened and shut his mouth, no sound coming out. He felt his chest constrict, all the air leaving his lungs. Steve blinked stupidly, staring at Tony in confusion. He had no idea what was going on. For the first time since their very first encounter, it occurred to Steve that he should leave. Have Jarvis get Happy to bring the car around. Tony looked at him over his shoulder, mouth a hard, thin line, whole body rigid with tension. Just get on the bed, Steve. That's what you're here for, right? Tony said bitterly, as his hands moved to unbutton his pants in quick, harsh motions. But before he could look away, Steve caught something pleading in his eyes, something desperate and wanting. Steve felt a white, hot stab of shame at Tony's words. However true they were, it hurt like hell to hear them fall from Tony's lips like invective. He blinked and looked down at the floor, struggling with what to say or do in the face of Tony's apparent derision. "Why are you even doing this?" Tony asked, his voice hitching a bit, catching Steve's eye briefly before turning to stare down at the bed. "Sometimes they ask," Ms. Romanoff had said. "They like to think of themselves as good people, and good people would ask. But remember, Steve, they don't want the truth. They don't want to know about how you need some extra cash for school, or really want to be an actor. They are paying for the fantasy, the one where they are special. It isn't about the money, see? That's the trick. They know it's a lie, but it's a lie they want to hear. That you don't care about the money, you just want to be with them. That you love this. That lets them have their time with you without the guilt, see? They don't want to be someone's last resort. They want to believe you want them the way they want you." "It isn't about the money," Steve said. "I just really like being with you." As the words fell from his lips, they didn't feel like a lie at all. But Tony's face crumbled, a flash of agony lighting his features. "Tony?" Steve started to reach up to him, but Tony stepped back and away from his hands and took a deep breath, running his hands through his hair and looking everywhere but at Steve. Steve didn't know what to make of that. He'd said what he was supposed to say, after all, but it had been the wrong thing, apparently. "They put that on flashcards for you?" Tony asked with an abrasive, terrible-sounding laugh that didn't sound like anything was funny. Tony's head dropped to his chest, and he put his hands on his hips, standing that way for a long moment. Finally, he raised his eyes, dark pools that locked on Steve, and there was so much Steve could read on his face. Anger, guilt, shame, a whole mix of emotions on vibrant display. For once, it seemed, Tony wasn't hiding anything about how he was feeling. But Steve still didn't know why. What had driven Tony to this point? "Even knowing. Christ. Even knowing what you... I still want you, God help me," Tony spat out, disgust dripping from every word. "Even knowing what you are," Steve's mind finished. Even knowing what he was, Tony wanted him. Didn't want to want him. Didn't want to want someone like him. Someone who was, just say it, Rogers, a whore. But he did. He just wanted him, and Tony hated himself for it. Shame. Deep, gut-wrenching shame washed over Steve. He swallowed and started to get up, but Tony's hands came up to cup his head, tilting his neck back so Steve's vision contained nothing but Tony. There was a manic desperation ghosting behind Tony's eyes, some kind of determination solidifying there that Steve couldn't read. Then Tony's mouth was on his, and his lips parted immediately, allowing Tony's tongue entrance. Tony swirled his tongue around, tracing the lines of Steve's mouth, darting in and out, frenzied and wild. Tony moved his hands to unbutton Steve's shirt and push it off his shoulders, hands roaming over Steve's frame as he did. Tony kept his mouth pressed to Steve's, beard scraping along Steve's jaw, as his hands pressed Steve back and down against the bed. Tony made short work of Steve's fly, and Steve lifted his hips to help Tony pull his pants the rest of the way off. He knew he should stop this. Bucky had been right. Tony had been playing a game, and no one had told Steve the rules. No, that wasn't fair. Steve had decided to ignore the rules. Now it was all laid bare. Tony wanted this part of him, but nothing more. He should have enough dignity to get up and walk out, but instead his hands came up to wrap around Tony's shoulders and wind up through his hair, pulling Tony's length along his body, letting their limbs entwine. This time it was Steve that kissed Tony, startling the other man as he pressed his mouth against his, letting his lips part and tongue slip along Tony's lips, seeking entrance. Tony let out a groan and opened his mouth, giving Steve all the permission he needed to explore fully, letting his tongue war with Tony's as they tumbled onto the bed. He realized this was the first time that he had actually been the one to initiate the kiss. It was always Tony taking the first step, closing the distance between them. When Tony pulled back, Steve saw something flicker in the deep brown pools of his eyes, like a switch had been flicked, and then Tony was kissing him again, hands on the sides of his face, moving Steve's mouth under his. This time, Tony's lips were bruising, teeth scraping and biting, leaving Steve's mouth swollen and sore, sensitive to the slightest swipe of Tony's tongue. He didn't care if this was all Tony wanted from him. This was enough. It would have to be. He tried to put everything he was feeling into his kiss, giving back as much as he could, and he heard Tony moan, low and deep against his mouth. As Tony pressed him back with a hand on his chest, Steve automatically scooted up the bed and started to roll over onto his stomach, but Tony's hand stilled him. "Like this," Tony said, shaking his head, voice low and spiked with something heavy, pressing Steve onto his back and going back to kissing Steve's senses away. He tried to bring his hands up to touch Tony, wrap them around him, and pull him closer, but Tony grasped his wrists and pressed his hands back to his sides. Tony kissed him deeply again and then drew back, looking down at Steve with such intensity that Steve felt his cock grow harder just with the force of the scrutiny. Tony pushed his legs apart and up, bending them at the knees, and settled between them. There was something manic about Tony's motions tonight, everything a little too sharp, too hard, too much, the pall of desperation clinging to every move. Maybe he hoped to find a way to stop wanting this, to stop wanting Steve, get it out of his system somehow, scratch the itch so it would go away, exorcise the demon. He sighed deeply when Tony's mouth left him, and his body pulled away, missing the solid warmth, but stayed as he was. He was wholly unprepared for Tony to bend over and swallow down the length of his cock in one swift motion. Steve's hips bucked wildly without any conscious thought on his part, and that probably should have ended that right then and there, but Tony wrote it out, relaxing his throat and letting the base of Steve's cock tap against the very back of it before Steve managed to control himself enough to stop fucking moving. He looked down to see Tony's kiss-swollen lips wrapped around his cock, moving up and down, sucking lightly. Tony's eyes were closed, his face a mix of rapture and concentration. Steve felt the flat of Tony's tongue along the underside of his shaft and forced himself not to move his hips again. But then Tony swirled his tongue around the tip and applied even more suction, and Steve found his hands were gripping Tony's hair without any memory of putting them there. Tony was moving faster now, up and down, loosing him out so only the head of his cock sat buried inside Tony's mouth, then swallowing him back down again. He felt Tony moan around him, the vibrations thrumming through his cock, and he heard himself make some sound between a gasp and a sob. Tony hollowed out his cheeks and began sucking furiously, working his tongue up and down the slit on the head of Steve's cock. Steve was undone, coming apart at the seams. Everything had been reduced to a single point, a single sensation, just Tony's mouth around him, all warm, wet heat and suction. He forced his fingers to let go of their grip on Tony's hair and tried to push him away. Tony, stop, I'm going. I'm almost there, Tony. Please. God, just... He choked out, mind blanking on anything more. But Tony didn't release him. If anything, just took him deeper and sucked even harder. Steve's head tipped back, vision blacked out, whole body going taut as a bowstring, hips jerking unevenly, and felt the warm rush as he came, spilling himself down Tony's throat. It took a while for him to come back to himself. Felt his body still trembling, as if trying to reassemble itself into the proper form. Tony's head was bowed, forehead leaning against Steve's thigh, mouth wrenched in a pained grimace. Tony. God, Tony, I... Steve couldn't form any logical thought beyond that, but hoped that got the point across. He let his head loll back, body going boneless, and just rode out the bliss. That was always good, of course, but that had been tonight. Jeez. He didn't know what to make of it. He didn't get much time to ponder as Tony shifted back between his thighs and pushed his legs apart, reaching down to cup his balls and gently rub, lifting them up and down. Steve nearly came off the bed. Tony, just... God, you don't... Jesus, fuck! Steve cursed as Tony dipped his head down to lick the wrinkled skin. He forgot anything else he was going to say, do, think, or feel as Tony continued to mouth at his balls and then pushed his knees apart and moved lower, licking a stripe down to his entrance. Steve was sure he must have passed out. Certainly that couldn't have been him making those high, keening noises, little gasps and pleas, as Tony wound his tongue up and down over his hole again and again. Just when Steve thought he couldn't take any more, the sensation far too much, he felt Tony press the tip of his tongue ever so slightly inside. Steve's whole body went rigid. Whatever embarrassment at the sounds tumbling from his lips gave way to sheer feeling as Tony's tongue pressed further, dipping inside and swirling around. Someone was shouting, and he wanted to tell them to stop, quiet down, but couldn't think words, just feelings, just Tony, moving his tongue around inside him, darting in and out, and licking the rim of his hole before plunging in again. Tony moved his mouth away long enough to look up and find Steve's eyes, and Steve knew what he must look like at this point. There was no sense denying it or pretending any different. No more games to play. When Tony jammed two fingers in deep and up, hitting that spot of nerves just so, he would have come off the bed entirely if Tony hadn't been pressing him down. It wasn't words spilling from his mouth, just unintelligible sounds. Speech given up long ago as the sensations washed over his body in waves, leaving him shaking and breathless. Steve didn't know how, but he was hard again. Felt Tony's hand wrap around his cock, moving up and down as he felt himself grow harder still. Tony's other hand moved to grab the tube of lube and spread a generous amount over Steve's cock. Tony continued his slow, undulating rhythm, and Steve felt impossibly hard. Tony's other hand moved behind him for a moment, and then, before Steve could form any kind of coherent thought, he felt the bed shift under Tony's weight, and then watched in mute amazement as Tony turned and sank himself down onto Steve's shaft, taking him all in with a long, low moan. Steve thought he was going to pass out from the feeling of it, buried deeply in Tony like this, feeling his warmth clench and release around him. So tight, God, so tight. He couldn't help but thrust up a bit, and that seemed to be all the encouragement Tony needed, because he was moving up and down, slow at first as if getting used to it, and then faster and harder until he was propelling himself up and slamming back down on Steve again and again, and Steve gasped as his hips bucked wildly, and he felt himself come for a second time, this time shouting Tony's name, and felt a warm gush hit his legs as Tony came at the same time. He lay there, stunned for a moment, felt Tony pull off of him, and his whole body retreated to slackness. He was utterly torn apart, wrecked beyond belief, still trying to process what had happened. That had been unexpected. Fantastic, good God, yes, but unexpected. He had no idea what to think. It would probably help if he could think in actual words, but that was going to take a moment. He blinked a few times to clear his vision. Tony wordlessly handed him a towel from the bedside, and he cleaned himself up as best he could, though honestly couldn't bring himself to care much at the state he was left in. He felt Tony roll over and lay beside him, not touching, but close enough Steve could feel the warmth emanating from him. "And now we've reached that time of the evening, folks," Steve thought crazily, as he tried to move his legs enough to get up from the bed, realizing that his body was still not exactly fully functional yet. He swallowed nervously. It was going to be even more horrifying if he got out of bed and promptly collapsed from sheer pleasure overload. He didn't understand. Tony had been so upset, so angry at himself, at Steve, probably at the world, all because he wanted Steve but hated the thought of wanting someone like Steve, and then this? It made no sense. Maybe he'd been wrong, Steve thought. Someone like Tony could have any of 100 reasons to be upset on any given night. Maybe he'd let Bucky fill his head with worries and had been projecting his own insecurities onto whatever Tony was dealing with. None of this had to necessarily mean that Tony only thought of him as for this. After that, surely not. "Stay," Tony said. So quietly, Steve almost missed it, concentrating so much on how to offer to help Tony with, well, whatever he needed. When he did comprehend, he felt a bolt of joy surge through him. Tony wanted him to stay the night? "Just stay tonight. Don't go back to... don't go. Just stay," Tony mumbled. Tony wanted him to stay. Maybe he wasn't as upset about the situation as Steve had imagined if he wanted him to stay the night. There had to be something more to this than just sex if Tony was asking him to stay. Whatever connection Steve had felt, maybe Tony felt it a bit too. Or at least, at the very least, if he wanted him to stay the night and just be with him, Steve thought with warmth flooding him, then surely it had to mean something more to Tony as well. Maybe Tony didn't see Steve as purely a transaction, just sex for money and that was it, just some whore to be bought at Tony's whim. He opened his mouth to tell Tony, absolutely, that he didn't think he could move anyway unless Happy planned to carry him up 5 flights of stairs, but Tony's next words sucked all the breath from his body, filling the empty spaces with a despair so deep that later, when he thought about it, Steve wasn't sure how he didn't crumble into pieces right then and there. "I'll pay extra,"